Apostle Paul penned these great words in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'm sure most of you could quote them. And we know that in all things God works for good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Christians like to quote that passage of scripture to folk who are in trouble. But you don't like to have it quoted to you when you're in trouble. It's okay for the other guy. But sometimes it's difficult to understand. There are many people who believe that human beings are nothing more than the plaything of chance and fate. In fact, some people would say, if Jesus loves you, if God loves you, good things are going to happen in your life. If he doesn't love you, he doesn't like you, you don't love him, then he's going to zap you in some way. He's going to make things difficult for you. And some people really believe that. We have here in the words of the Apostle Paul what I believe is the right text. We are in the hands of an all-wise and all-good God. I believe that. A God who has deep interest in every person in this room today. He cares about you. He arranges your life and he rules your life in such a way that he brings all things together so that when you put them together, it will bring good in your life. Moffat has cleared up a mistranslation, I believe, of the King James Version. He says, we know that also that those who love God, those who have been called in terms of his purpose, have his interest and aid in everything. God interacts in all of the circumstances about us, I believe, to bring good out of it. The text says God works in all circumstances. We have a tendency to want to Americanize this verse. We want to somehow make it so that everything comes out just all right. The text doesn't say that everything that happens to you is good, because they aren't. If you were to ask Pastor Mitchell Birch this morning, our pastor in Hamilton, Ohio, if everything turns out good, he would stand up and I'm sure say, no, it doesn't, because his wife and his mother-in-law were killed in a head-on crash this week, and today is the funeral. I can't tell you that that's a good thing that happened. I would be crazy to tell you that's a good thing that happened. It doesn't say that all things that happen to us have a happy ending. They don't have a happy ending always. For life does not come out all right in all circumstances. But my friend, God is still there cooperating with us in all things. Pastor Birch would stand here this morning, I'm sure, and tell you, I don't understand why it's happened. I don't like it, but I know that God is cooperating in my life at this very moment. The writer of this book is helping us to understand that God cooperates with us in all things, even in the hostile things that happen to us. God can take our biggest mistake. He can take your greatest sin. He can take the worst thing that's ever happened to you, and he can bring them together so that something good can happen out of them in your life. Life is somewhat like a cake batter. I don't know anybody in this room this morning who likes to go over to the cupboard and take a tablespoon and dip into the flour and just put it in your mouth and eat it. I've never done that. It just doesn't sound real good. I don't know anybody who likes to eat raw eggs. Now, I guess I have to renege on that a little bit. My dad used to tell me that he would go out to the hen house, punch a hole in the egg and suck it out, but he's gross. I am not interested in that. I would rather have it fried hard than have white running. I don't know very many people, unless it's little kids, who like to eat sugar. It's not good for you. You don't go and get a pound of sugar and just sit there and eat it. I don't know anybody who takes a tub of butter and goes in, somebody's pointing fingers, and goes in and sits down and watches your favorite TV show and eat the butter. But you take all of those ingredients, mix them together, stir them up, put them in a pan, stick it in an oven and let it bake. Every one of us here, I suppose, likes a good piece of cake. In the same way, God takes all the ingredients of our lives, even our mistakes, even the sins that we have committed, and He can make something good to happen out of those things because there is a purpose, I believe, to all of life. Paul closes chapter 8, where we find this verse, at verse 35. He talks about the calamities that threaten mankind. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" If you drop down to the next couple of verses, he says, "No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." So even in the midst of the most devastating set of circumstances that you can find, when you get away from it and you look back on it, you could see that God was present at that time. You may not have seen Him at the moment. You may not have felt Him at the moment. You may have wondered where He was, like footprints in the sand. But it's in those times that He's there. He's working. He's active in your life. And there's no situation, however desperate it may be, that you cannot find God at work, and perhaps at the most precious time of your life, when you need Him the most, He's there. This verse also says that God cooperates with us in all things. People look at this verse differently. Some people say, "Man, can that verse really be true? Can it really be true now?" Some would say, I don't think it's true at all. Some would say, "I hope to God it is true." And there's some who would say, "Man, I know it's true. I know it's true because it's happened in my life." I choose as a Christian to put my hands and my life into the hands of an almighty God who loves me, who cares for me, and who is going to see me through. So that when I am glad or when I am sad, when I am strong or when I am weak, when I am successful or when I am beaten down and feel like I'm a jerk, it is not just happenstance or a thing that I experience without meaning or purpose. My life is in the hands and the providence of an almighty God who cares more about me than anyone in this world could care about me. I may not understand everything that happens. I may not like everything that happens. But I know God's there and He's with me through it all. The text says God works in all circumstance for good. For good. The text helps us to see that God causes all things to work together. The emphasis on this verse is the working together. Paul does not say that all things work for good, just isolated. He says you put everything together. Collect it all together. One event before another, with an event, after an event, put it all together. And he says, then God can bring good out of that. To illustrate that, you find a story about Joseph, Genesis chapter 45. Joseph has this principle working in his life, and it's hard to understand how he is allowed to. He has it working because some devastating things happen to him. He perhaps a bit unwisely told his siblings a dream that he had. It was a dream where their sheaves of wheat bowed down to his sheaf of wheat that stood straight and erect. That's not the wisest thing that you can do. That's one of the best ways I know to get rivalry going. My wife still makes sugar cookies for our grown two kids and grandkids. And if one thinks the other got more than the other one got, there's a little rivalry going on. It's a fun rivalry, but you don't want to do what Joseph did and build love in your family. But nevertheless, that's what happened. And so they conspire to kill him. His father sends him with this beautiful coat that his father made. Didn't make any other kids that coat, but made that coat. They see him coming and they connive against him. They're going to kill him. They're going to blood soak that coat with a dead animal and tell Dad that he was attacked by an animal and was killed. But instead of killing him, they sell him as a slave to the Midianites, who take him down into Egypt. He is in Egypt against his will, and really, he doesn't deserve to be there. He has done nothing to deserve what his brothers are doing to him. His master's wife, in a lustful fury, tries on several occasions to seduce him, and he refuses. And so when she fails, she lies about him, and now he's thrown into prison. And he's there for a good period of time. There are many adversities that come into the life of Joseph. He cannot understand them, I'm sure. Why are these circumstances happening to me? I'm sure he asked that question. It would have been easy for him to have turned his back on God and his family and says, nobody cares about me, therefore I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it, and I'm going to do what I please to do. And then we suddenly see a change in his circumstances. The king, Pharaoh of Egypt, has a dream. No one can interpret it. They send for Joseph, who has interpreted dreams in the past. And Joseph tells the king what his dream was and what's going to happen, what needs to take place in order for the nation to survive. And he's elevated to the second in command, just under the king, Pharaoh. And now he's in charge of Egypt. There's going to be a 7-year famine. And Joseph makes plans and he stores grain so that Egypt is taken care of and the nations around begin to come. As we look back in history, it's easy for us to see that the evil actions of his brothers came out for good for innocent Joseph and for the nation of Israel. Man, let me tell you, if you'd been there, you wouldn't have seen that. You can only see that in hindsight. As you look back on that story, you can say, yeah, I can see God. God has him in these adverse circumstances. He's preparing him for a higher place. But Joseph didn't know that. People around him did not know that. Had you been Joseph, or had you been a friend of Joseph, you would have never been able to understand why all of this adversity was coming to this young man who seemed to be a fine person in character. Well, it happens. Joseph's brothers are out of food, and so they come to Egypt to buy food. And Joseph recognizes them, and they don't recognize him. He wants to find out if his father's alive and his younger brother Benjamin. When he finds out they're alive, Finally, he reveals himself to his brothers, and I'm sure they are chattering in their boots. I don't know how you chatter in your boots, but I think they were. I know their false teeth was clattering. Because finally, doomsday has come to them. Here's what he says in chapter 45, verse 4 and 8. Come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into slavery. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God, did you get that? It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land, and for the next 5, will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all Egypt. Let me tell you something, that's quite an insight for a person who has been through what he's been through to come to. It had to be revealed to him by God himself. Now, years later, his father dies, Jacob dies, and now there's a great deal of fear in those boys because they suppose that the presence of the father figure in their lives has kept Joseph from doing what he wanted to do to them in the first place. And so now they have great fear. If you turn over to chapter 50, verse 19 and 21, here's what Joseph says again. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. You take in isolation some of the individual things that happened to Joseph. Let me tell you, they didn't make any sense at all. They didn't make any sense at all in his life. We would say, why is this kind of thing happening to such a good young man? But when you put it all together, it made sense to Joseph, and it made sense to his friends and family. J. Wallace Hamilton, one of his books, talks about an illustration of a little boy looking through a knothole of a fence at a parade that is passing by. All that he can see of that parade is through the knothole, what is immediately in front of him. He cannot see what's gone ahead. He cannot see what is yet to come. All he can see is that little knothole in the fence. And then Hamilton said this, we human beings are like that during our life. All we can see is the little knothole called the present. That's it. You have some memory of the past, you have no idea what the future holds. And if you're looking through a knothole fence, we're standing there looking through that knothole fence at life. But God, he says, is up on the fence. He can see what has passed. He can see what is present. And he sees what is yet to come. Life is like a book. Several chapters. And all of a sudden we get excited and we get depressed and upset because one of those chapters in our book of life isn't going the way we want it to go. You might say it's a bad chapter. You may think that's the end of the book, but let me tell you something. The book isn't finished yet. There are several chapters yet to be written. And it becomes the tragic chapter of your life, but when you put it all together with the rest of life, God can bring good out of it. There's some pieces in my life that I would not want to go through again. God may be a better person and a better pastor. First church I served, 19 people. Horrible church. Horrible church. I should have never been allowed to go there. I was 19 years old. They had chased away every preacher that had ever come there. One of my friends' father passed through that church. He said, that church killed my father. It gave him a heart attack. I wasn't there very long. My wife went home crying every Sunday after church. If you would have asked me for a hammer and a nail, I'd have been the first person there to drive it in the door. But I can tell you this. It made a better person out of me. Made a better pastor out of me. If you'd have looked at that chapter of the life, I said I never want to pastor another church. In fact, I took 3 months off completely. I did nothing. I went to church. I sang in the choir. I didn't want to teach class. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to be free of those kinds of people. And then God healed me. And another church took me in and loved me. See, that chapter was just one chapter. The book isn't finished yet. There's a next part of this that says, God causes all things to work together for good. Now, we have enough common sense to realize that everything that happens to us isn't good. There's much in the world that's not good. There's disappointments. There are pains of sickness. There's death that suddenly comes. There's heartaches of love and relationships. There's divorce. There's abuse, there's abortions, there's drugs, there's illicit sex. None of those things are good. But it's interesting, and at the same time, it's difficult to understand when Paul says, all things work together. Man, I wished he would have said some things or a few things work together. I could have understood that. But he says, all things work together for good. And that leads us to the discovery that even the suffering of this present time can become a source of blessing. There's no sentimental attempt here on Paul's part or on my part to persuade us that evil things are good in themselves. They are not good. They're not good. They remain what they are, evil, bad. But they've lost their power to defeat us in this verse. No matter how bitter the circumstance may be, we can learn to discover in them God's cooperation with us to bring about good in all things. Actually, it's in these things that at times seem so to deny his presence that he's actually more present than ever before. Paul talks about in Corinthians some of the things that happened to him. You look at Paul and you say, man, I wished I had a spiritual experience like Paul. I wished I could live for God like he did. Listen to some of the things he encountered. He faced hunger. He faced loneliness, thirst. He faced sickness. He was imprisoned several times. He was beaten 39 stripes more than once. He was stoned to death once but did not die. He was robbed. He was shipwrecked. And not once do you find Paul reproaching God for those things that happened to him. In fact, he never complains that life was hard for him. He says he's able to rejoice in all things. Because he knows that in all things, God is working to bring about good in his life. Everything that happens to us is not good. We've said it over and over. I want you to leave here and say, Pastor today said this bad thing is good for me. I didn't say that. I'm simply saying that God can work in all of those things to bring about good. Now, there's two important things in this text that we've not touched on yet. First one is that God works in all circumstances with those who love him. You need to underscore that, with those who love him. This promise is for those who love him. If you're not a believer, this promise isn't for you. This promise is for people who love God, who love Jesus. The problem is, it's easier to love God when things are going well than it is when things are going bad. In fact, maybe this is a good test for you and I to take. Just how much do you love God when the going gets tough? Do you let circumstances get the best of you? Are you as committed to Christ and to his kingdom during the difficult times of life as you are in the good times of life? Or are you kind of an up and down, wishy-washy kind of a Christian? If it's good, I'm in. If it's not so good, I'm having trouble. I just know if I can believe in God. This verse is for those who love him. It's easy in those times to stop loving and trusting the Lord. It's easy to resort to self-pity in those times. And those persons who have the power that comes from God to bring all these things together to make good are those who love God. Second part of that is, God's promise is to those who are called according to his purpose. They want the purpose of God in their life. Now, what is the purpose of God? Well, you drop down a verse and Paul tells you. He says in verse 29, it is to be conformed to the image of his son. The only way that I know that we get conformed to the image of his son is to pass through some troubled times. I haven't seen it happen in too many other ways. When you're going through troubled times, people seem to draw to the Lord. They depend on the Lord more for strength. And they are more conformed to his image at those times. When things are going well, they have a tendency to get away from God, not to depend upon him in prayer so much. It is only those people who love God, who trust in God, who live according to his purposes to be conformed to the image of his son, that God cooperates, causing all things to work together in the end for good. Something here you need to get hold of, and it's this. Everything depends upon how we react to the circumstances. Don't forget that. Everything depends upon the attitude that I take into the circumstance. You may be hurting today. You may be aching on the inside. Nobody else knows it. Nobody is aware of it but you. You may be so lonesome on the inside. You may be so devastated on the inside. But I am here to tell you today, I urge you with everything that you have within you to take hold of this verse, to live by this verse, to pray this verse, that in every circumstance that happens to your life, God will be faithful to take it all together, blend it all together, like he's blending a cake and he's going to bake it and it's going to come out beautiful. The ingredients, the things that happen to you are not good. But when you put it together and God takes care of it and he puts you in the bake oven, so to speak, you're going to come out tasty and wonderful. I've seen it work in the lives of other people. I've seen it work in my own life. I'm here to tell you, it can work in yours. It can work in yours. So this morning, if you're going through the treadmill of life and it's just kind of boring and you're going through some very hurtful experiences that you don't hardly understand why it's happening and how it's happening and you don't know when it's going to quit, I would invite you to come and just talk that over with the Lord. You want someone to pray with you? They will. If you want to pray alone, that's okay too. But don't fight that battle all by yourself. Number one, God is with you in it. The Holy Spirit's in you. If you love God and are called according to His purpose, and He will bring you through it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You today that You are a wonderful Heavenly Father who loves us. Because sin came into this world, there'll be some things that happen in our life that we won't like, that'll not be good. But Father, You're with us. You carry us in those times. You want to love us. So Father, I pray that this congregation today, those who are hurting, those who don't understand what's happening in life, that they will just allow that to happen to them today. In Jesus' name, amen.